and only one you, the listener, who is committed to keeping independent music and message available to the people. Your generosity sustains and challenges us to build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hello, I'm Dr. E. Faye Williams, National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women. And you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. On every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. With my main man, Kalia, here, and we're making it happen. We're taking calls. We're playing either a house song or an old school song or something from the 80s. In the end, we have a good old time here making the show happen. Don't forget, when you call in at 202-588-0893, make sure that when you call in, when you answer the phone and you get on hold, make sure you keep the phone at your ear. We have a 10-second delay. If you set the phone down and you listen to like the radio or computer, whatever you're listening on, when I call for you and say next caller, you won't hear me for 10 seconds because you'll have a delay. So make sure if you're on hold, keep the phone at your ear. You know, even no matter what my subject is, I try to keep things on subject as best I can. If I have one, don't always have a subject, but I like to keep things open, particularly if you have something you disagree with me on, if you have something you want to challenge me on, I'm all good for that. I really, really believe in that. That's one of the things that I push. If you know this show, is that it's important we should have a conversation, regardless of what's going on, regardless of how much you or me disagree. What is important is to have an intellectual discussion about things. So I certainly appreciate that. I got a few things I want to talk about. I got a call on. I'll get to my caller. Hold on about 3 or 4 minutes. Caller, we'll get right to you. Just started. So give me about 5 minutes and we'll start getting to our callers. 202-588-0893. So here we sit with a system that is on the, you know, verge of attacking Venezuela. That's certainly a possibility. That would be a very foolish move, in my opinion. For numerous reasons, they seem to be on the verge of attacking Iran for a second time, another very foolish move. You know, you watch the U.S. empire and you say, how many foolish moves does it make before it really gets a bloody nose somewhere, before something bad happens? You know, what happens? You attack Venezuela and Venezuela, you know, whistles out a couple anti-ship missiles and one or two of those ships sitting off the coast of Venezuela gets blown to smithereens. I mean, people forget, you know, they're like, oh, we'll just attack Venezuela. Well, they got F-16s. They got Su-30s, I believe, which is a pretty good fighter plane, which means they've got anti-air. I ain't saying it's a powerful military. I'm just saying they do have some nasty little things there that can cause us great problems. And might I add, we didn't fare so well against the Houthis. So Venezuela ain't the Houthis. The Houthis didn't even have an air force. So what happens if the U.S. says, that's it, we're going to strike Venezuela, and they fire some missiles into Venezuela, and Venezuela fires a salvo of anti-ship missiles and flattens one of those ships, and 300 people go to the bottom of the sea. What do you do then? Oh, well, we're going to we're going to declare war on Venezuela. You attack them out of the blue for no reason. A violation of international law, a war of aggression. So what are we now? And might I add, the last time Israel attacked Iran, it didn't work out so well for Israel. They had to tap out after 12 days. So, you know, you wonder how long the U.S. and its, you know, proxies, allies, whatever term you want to call them, how long they're going to keep messing around until they do something stupid. And, you know, there's a bunch of body bags coming home. And then Americans are going to wake up and say, whoa, 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 what, 300 Americans just got killed in a ship? And then they're going to say, well, we just got to drag you into a full war now. Great. So 300,000 of them are going to die. You know, it's absurd where we are as a country. The United States apparently does not realize, and hasn't for some time, the limits of its power in this technological age. There are even poor countries have the technology to strike back. That's not a good idea to start another war, particularly. I think Americans have had about enough of this Israeli stuff, and people are starting to say, wait a minute, this is not working out well for us, and I don't like the direction that this is going with the horrible things that Israel are doing. And I'm glad that people are waking up. Even some conservatives, for God's sake, are waking up to say, hey, this is bad news. So I think that's positive. We'll see how that goes as the desperation by the ruling elite increases, that now they're buying TikTok, they're buying CBS, they're buying up all of these outlets to try to make sure that all you get is propaganda, which is pretty much all we get now, with the exception of WPFW, I might add. So let's continue to do what we're doing. As I said, we got open lines. Oh, one other thing that I wanted to throw. I know I said 4 to 5 minutes. That was 4 minutes ago, so I'll give you 2 other minutes because this is something I want to throw out there. Feel free to call about it. Because a friend of mine said something to me the other day, somebody I hadn't seen in a long time, and they were talking about the whole COVID thing. And I said, well, it's over now, supposedly, so we could talk about whatever. And he was talking about the vaccine or whatever, and he asked me, did you get that? Yeah, because, you know, somebody so-and-so did get vaccinated. I said, well, I didn't get vaccinated. He was like, what? Why not? I said, why do you have to ask why not? I'm fine. You know, I said at that point, I had my reasons. I didn't want to do it. I was pretty healthy as it was. So I just chose not to. I don't denigrate people who chose to. You chose to do that. That's fine. I told him, I said, look, my dad had cancer at the age of 80. And they said, okay, you got to start with your cancer treatment right away. And my dad said, nah, I'm not going to do it. And the doctor's like, but you have to. You're going to take radiation. This is my dad says, I'm 80 years old. Not going to do it. We'll see how things work out. He lived 4.5 years and then he passed away. Here's the bottom line. It was his choice. You know, I didn't even hassle. I didn't say, Dad, you got to take this. The man said, it's his body. If he wants to take it, that's fine. If he doesn't, you know, I've seen people really suffer through radiation and stuff like that. And if his choice was not to do it, that's fine. And I'm like this, you know. Hey, in the same way that I believe in a woman's choice to, you know, it's not up to me to dictate to women, you know, the whole issue of pregnancy and abortion and stuff like that. However, I feel like that, I ain't a woman and I have no right to tell women what to think about it or what to do it or not, because I'm not in that position. And I feel that way about medicine, period, right? And we had to talk because he was like, oh, yeah, but everybody should have this and that. And I'm like, well, I didn't. And I don't care if you did. I don't really need to know. But if you did, that's fine with me. I didn't. That should be fine with you. We're both still here. You're still here. I'm still here. So what's the big deal? Unless you view it as a ritual of some type. Unless it's like, hey, you have to do this so you'll be part of the team. And I said, to which you know me, I ain't never part of the team. You know what I'm saying? I am a dissenter. I am a dissident. When the government says, hey, everybody needs to do this, I say, oh, yeah, well, I'm not doing that. But I don't denigrate those who make that choice. If they feel that it's best for them, that's what they should do. Your choice at any age, whatever. So at any rate, we got one call. The number is 202-588-0893. We got absolute madness in our foreign policy. We got genocide in our foreign policy. We got a government shutdown. It's just that this country's coming apart. It has been for a long time, but it's unraveling, shall we say. 202-588-0893. First call, you're in the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Garland, what's going on? It's Max calling again.
All is good, Max. All is good, my friend. The weather's great today.
So, should we continue where we were at last week, or should we talk about something different this week?
Well, I'll put it like this. I mean, there is a lot of, I noticed something. You and I will go over a lot of what happens is you'll call and we'll go over these details. Well, what about this guy or that guy? If you're a regular listener, you're falling asleep because you don't know what we're even talking about most of the time. We're probably boring people to death. But you can talk about whatever you want. But my question is this, rather than go into detail, what is it you were actually trying to get to? What is the point you're trying to make?
I guess the point is, like, with the Comey situation, is that you have this stance that it's justice. And in reality, it just reeks of corruption and it reeks of political
prosecution. What's justice? I don't believe that we have a system that, to be quite frank, I don't believe that we have a system that produces justice. So I don't believe that this system produces justice. Now, as far as Jim Comey, he's been a crook. He's been a lowlife and all of the things that he's done. Here's what I'll say. If he goes down, I ain't losing no sleep over that. But the whole system is crooked.
Not either.
He's crooked, and the people that are going after him is just as crooked as he is.
And I'm just saying it just reeks of corruption, because there is no crime that he committed. Like I said, everything laid out shows that, you know, even though they never proved anything, that there were plenty of people around Trump that were all in on that scandal, you know, and they all obstructed the whole thing. And I think it's just like sometimes I feel like when I talk to you about these things, it's like there's kind of like a selective bias. It's like it's so far reached, right? Like when we talk about certain crimes that Trump committed, not even the Russia stuff. I'm talking about the definitive crimes that he committed. And it's like, oh, well, you know, this and that. But then with stuff like this, you're certain. You're certain with all these other people with these crimes that they didn't even commit. But then with Trump, you're never certain about it. It's always the
skepticism. Well, I'll put it like this. Any position that I take, I can defend. I'll say this about Comey. My understanding is Comey is charged with lying to FBI and lying to Congress because he was very specifically asked whether he authorized any leaks, and he said no. And we have videotape of him saying that he authorized leaks. As far as I'm concerned, that's grounds to charge a person. However, I think based on my experience in court, it will be very difficult for them to... to me, it's clear he did it, but it'll be difficult for them to convict him because you have to show intent in this case, and it's very difficult to show intent. So in my opinion, based on the facts, I believe that it's pretty clear that he did it, but I don't think it's an easy conviction. I think it's possible that he might walk because you got to show intent. Mens rea, a criminal state of mind, and I don't think it's going to be easy to do that.
All right. And why do you think, right, because this is someone who's like kind of one of your friends, why do you think Sean Stone made a documentary about the president's men as if like playing this game of like, oh man, these persecuted...
I don't know who Sean Stone men. Is.
He was the guy that was on your podcast, like right after Trump won the election. He was on, he has like the long black hair. He's the movie star guy.
Sean
he was
Stone?
On your video on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I don't even remember. Yes, I don't even remember what we talked about. I had him on once. Yeah, I don't really know him that well. Isn't he? Is he like a conservative guy or something?
I don't know. But it was just some of the things he was saying. Yeah. Some of the things he was saying about like the president's men and Roger Stone and mm-hmm. Bannon, and then the way he was defending Tucker. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't even mean like defending them as in defending their philosophies. Like defending them as in like that these men were wrongfully persecuted. When it's like, dude, these guys all clearly are criminals, man. Like these guys, like how are you going to make a movie called The President's Men? And it's like, yeah, is his henchmen full of criminals? You know, he's a criminal leading
well,
criminals.
You I'll
know?
Say like, this, Max. You feel that they were all fairly prosecuted, and I respect your right to feel that way. I don't. Now, ideologically, like Roger Stone, you couldn't get any further ideologically. You and I are probably pretty close ideologically. Roger Stone is on the other side. Now, I have interviewed Roger Stone on more than one occasion. I don't agree with Roger Stone. So he can be a bit of a lunatic, but I wasn't based on what I saw. I wasn't thrilled with the prosecution of him, of a Roger Stone. Most of the prosecutions that I saw, I didn't feel that they were just. But you got a right to feel that they were just. Even people that I just absolutely disagree with, I tend to be, number one, I tend to side with people who are charged. I tend to, you know, to be on the defense side as opposed to the prosecution side. So that's my nature right off the bat.
Except when it's Hunter Biden, even though, and they said that he was taking bribes from Ukraine and the FBI guy is now serving 6 years for the lie, though. But if Paul Manafort's engaging in bank fraud conspiracy, and the thing about the Constant Kimmelnick, I looked him up. He spoke to the embassy. He had conversations, but he wasn't a direct employee of the embassy. He has dual citizenship. He has dual citizenship going back to when Russia.
You're going to lose people again. Here's the thing. You're going to lose people, Max. Once you start talking about Konstantin Kilimnik on a radio show, people don't know who you're talking about. It would be great if you and I were having a conversation. But you know what I'm saying? On a radio show, people are like, Konstantin Kilimnik, what is that? Some new kind of imposter or something?
Well, here's a good question then. Here's my point.
Let me make a quick point to you. I take positions based on my research. That's all. The idea that, oh, I like this person or that person. One of the reasons that I'm very easily to, that it's easy for me to defend somebody that I absolutely disagree with. In fact, I can defend a person that I hate, that I despise in every point. But I look at the facts, and if that person is innocent, I'm going to say they're innocent. So the idea that, well, if it's Hunter Biden this, if it's Trump, no, I go by what the facts, and I make a decision based on what I see. That's as simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just funny when, like, the evidence with Roger Stone, you know, and the fact that Steve Bannon and Rick Gates basically ratted him out. It's just that, like, he clearly committed those crimes, you know, it's just confusing, you know, the same way that you don't think that Trump committed the D.C. crimes when it's like
the what crime was like what crime
the D.C. crimes, the election subversion, the Jack Smith indictments, you know.
Nah, yeah, I don't agree with that. Again, you know why I don't agree with that?
That's what I'm saying. Like, the fact that you're...
No, wait a minute. Let me hear me out. You know why I didn't agree with that?
It's hilarious. It's laughable.
I'll tell you. Do you want to know why the main reason I didn't agree with that, Max?
Why?
I didn't agree with that for the same reason that I don't think Comey will be convicted. It'll be... Because in order for that to be a crime, Trump would have had to say, I think the election was stolen. And he would have to truly believe that it wasn't stolen and be lying.
No, he did.
In my opinion, hear me out. In my opinion, though I don't agree with Trump that the election was stolen, I think Trump believed it was. You know, he can be a bit of a crackpot. So the fact that he said it was stolen and he believed that it was stolen, if he believed it was stolen, you don't have a conviction there. Because you don't have mens rea, you don't have criminal intent.
So how did he not know the election wasn't stolen when he was?
I didn't say no. The law doesn't say no. I said believe.
I'm saying how did he not believe that the election was legitimate when that lady that's on The View now, right?
The question is not that you got the wrong question. The question is not he doesn't have to prove that he believed it. The prosecution has to prove that he didn't believe
it. No, and they did it.
Which is pretty much impossible to do. You can't prove that I do or don't believe anything. So the prosecution, I don't have to prove that I do or don't. The prosecution has to prove that. And it's pretty much impossible. And at that point, I'm like, why are you going to charge somebody when you got to prove that they believe? And you know something? Here's the perfect thing. You may say, I think Trump believed it. And I may say, I think he didn't. Or you may say vice versa. Yeah. I think he did, which is fair. But what that means is this. That means that there's reasonable doubt. In order for a person to be acquitted, all you need is reasonable doubt. And if some people say, I don't think he did. Reasonable doubt is there. You don't have a conviction. That's my point. At any rate, Max, I got to run. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. 202-588-0893. Remember, we got open lines. We got wars going on. We got Israel running amok, killing innocent people. Who knows? What Trump threatening everybody, Venezuela, you name it. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Earl from Southwest.
All right, talk to me, brother.
Didn't know it was me coming up. Some Trump, but
we hit the button. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he gone?
Yeah. It's not a Trump thing. This is a America sickness. This thing, it's a puff head. This thing got to be, it has to be taken care of. It got to be a shot, some kind of abscess or something. You got to get this cancer up off the planet. Oh, this in Israel, we see what's going on, and we just think like it's going, it's another tomorrow to come. Get folk over there.
Well, brother, let me tell you this, brother. When you said it ain't Trump, it's America, you are preaching to the converted, as they say. You're preaching to the choir, brother. I say that every week, that Trump didn't come into this political system. He came out of this political system.
Exactly. This is nothing, this is the sickness that it's been in infecting everything that don't get covered.
All right, well, we got to, unfortunately, this brother, he was intense, and we had to cut him loose, but hopefully the brother will call back next week and be a little more judicious with his language, shall we say. But he's right, and people are starting to say that. People are starting to understand that we have systemic and structural political problems that no matter who you put in there, that if Donald Trump dropped dead tomorrow, J.D. Vance would be there. What do you think he's going? Oh, boy, we are got it made now. Trump's gone. No. Things would continue in the same direction they're going, which is straight down. But 202-588-0893, I want to hear what you got to say. Let's talk.
Good evening.
You are on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is T-Berry from Upper Marlboro. How you doing?
Hey, my main man, T-Berry. Always a pleasure to hear from you. What's happening, brother?
Well, I was just listening to you, and I've got a couple of things to say. United States is a horrible place. We're the most violent country in the world, and Martin Luther King said that, and it's even getting worse right now. I think that we're starting to face the consequences. We'll face it faster with Trump as president than with Biden as president. Even though Biden started and financed the genocide originally, Trump has taken it over, and Trump is such an Israeli too that in his prior years he moved the capital to Jerusalem, and he is supporting them irregardless. Right now, Russia is demonstrating how to affect, and China, how to affect us, and that's the pocketbooks. And because we don't care about people dying, especially if they don't have white European skin, but we do care about the fact that with China, they lost $103 billion worth of soybeans sales. Mm-hmm. And Iran gave some problems to Israel, and they're going to give some more problems. And it'll be the end of Israel if they're stupid enough to attack them again. So that's why I don't believe it's going to happen. They're going to find some excuse to hit some other country instead, Lebanon or someplace else that can't hit Israel back. I think that the countries in the world now are going to, just like they're going to boycott Israel out of existence, and Israel really economically is out of existence. They're right. Being propped up by the U.S. dollar, by us, U.S. taxpayers. They get stuff we don't get here by our money, such as free medical yep. care. There's been insurance you know, after Iran hit, there were over 1,000 people putting claims for their properties and whatever, you know, during that last thing with Iran. I think, though, other countries, especially Spain and some other places, they're talking about boycotting Israel. But I think, ultimately, they got to boycott us. We're the people who don't care about the things, but we do care about our income. We don't care that they're killing women and children, and people who are not trigger pullers, and that they're trying to steal they're not trying, they are stealing their land, but it is just what it is. Just like, don't have to be proof, just like Comey did some nasty things that resulted in Hillary's loss. For example, he revealed information right before the election. We do stuff, and we pretend that we're not completely on Israel's side, but we are. We're the main supplier, and we got troops over there. But when it starts affecting us, when American blood starts being lost, and even though they're moving troops out of the Qatar areas because Iran can hit Qatar, you know, we're going to, I understand, though I don't understand it, because it's the craziest thing going, and Trump is aligning the world against us. The world is getting aligned against the United States. People don't do stuff. We think we can exist alone and we can muscle our way out of or into certain situations. We're going to lose, I think. And I think that Trump is doing it more in the open than Biden was doing it. So I think the countries are more in the open going to ultimately align against us. They are having problems in Europe right now. They're kicking out these people. The Arabs are going to do the same thing with their leaders who are propped by the richest folks in the world. And I think the United States is going to go down. I think Israel is going to go down faster, especially if they do, if they're stupid enough to hit Iran again, because this time Iran is ready. You know, they had a decapitation thing before, and they came in and surprised them and it took them a while, but by the end, you are correct. They were begging for the bombing mm-hmm. to stop. That's why I don't believe it's going to happen again. But, you know, I could be wrong. I'm not...
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree with you on pretty much all of your points. One, I disagree with you a bit because I had predicted that Hillary would lose. At the time, I was doing national TV, and I was predicting that Trump would win, that Hillary would lose long before that happened. So, you know, I don't think that any particular thing, Comey releasing this or that, made a difference. I thought that Hillary was going to lose, period. And that was because the Democratic Party, what they did with the Bernie thing, that really destabilized the party to a point where I didn't think that their nominee could win after the whole Bernie fiasco. So I don't think it was Comey. I think it was the Bernie fiasco. And I don't think the Democratic Party has recovered. Right now, the Democratic Party is an absolute mess. It is a disaster. In fact, politics in this country, period, are unstable all over. So we're in a bad situation, but... You know, I don't know what it'll take for people to wake up. We still got a lot of people, in my opinion, that like, oh, well, if only the Democrats would have won, everything is great. And the Republicans that were like, oh, if only Trump wins, everything will be great. People don't understand that we're looking at an empire, that we're looking at an unstable and violent empire. And, you know, people need to wake up out of this just partisanship, like, oh, my party's the good guys. Because at some point it gets to what I call the one less concentration camp, where you're like, well, I support the Democrats. And if somebody says, yeah, but they got 9 concentration camps, you say, yeah, but the Republicans have 10. We got one less concentration camp. That's what it gets to when you have two parties that are so similar, so horrible, such warmonger, that after a while you got to search for a difference to try to come up with an excuse for where one is the better. And no matter what you in, they're warmongers who just keep taking the money of the people and throwing it into the war machine as our lives fall apart.
But the thing is, you're an astute observer of the situation. Most Americans are not. And the papers and the news media was predicting Hillary was going to win. And then Comey came out with something in the last 3 days before the election or something.
It was something about her emails, but her emails wasn't what decided it. Her emails did not decide it. It was the Bernie thing. If you look at the number of people, look at Kamala Harris. Did you know this? When you start looking at the details, 30% of the people who voted for Joe Biden didn't vote for Kamala Harris specifically because of Gaza. There was a number of reasons, but the single biggest factor that Kamala Harris lost was over the genocide. That people just said, I can't vote for that. They wouldn't vote for it. Generally, when a person loses or wins, if you look at the polls, there's an overwhelming issue, and I think it was the Bernie issue. They just lost a lot of furious people out of the Democratic Party that were enough people. She barely lost, but she lost, but she barely lost.
Okay, I agree with you, and the thing is, I'm one of those 30% people because I blame her and Biden for the genocide. I blame her. Talking about being concerned, not condemning it, but being concerned and then quietly turning around the next day and giving $23 million more weapons to Israel to kill people on their homes and whatever, something like that. That's the United States is doing that. And as the stuff comes out, the world is seeing it. And even though the rich people in the world who run the world see it now, the poor people now who are starting to line together a little bit more, because that's what you do when you got a bully. You get up, eventually you decide everybody got to attack them, and they can attack them without weapons, you know, in a peaceful way, just by not buying anything. They don't have to announce it or anything else, especially if they make it criminal to go against Israel or the United States for this sort of nonsense. You just don't do it, and eventually the United States, you know, our dollar is getting more worthless. It's 12% less than it was a year ago. We're going to crack up. We're going to crack. It's an asinine thing they have, and we're going to attack China just like we attack anybody who's doing better than we are, who are not people people of color, rather, or not European. That's the way it's going to be. And unfortunately, Vietnam, Iran, Iraq, despite the big money that we spent wastefully on all this violence, still hasn't woken people up. But when it affects everybody's standard of living.
Julian Assange said, Julian Assange said that the purpose of forever wars was not to win them. the purpose of forever wars was to have forever wars. You know, what was it? $1.5 trillion that was spent in Afghanistan. And what they tell us for 20 years, they said, you know what? We can't possibly leave Afghanistan, because if we leave Afghanistan, oh, there will be terrorism everywhere and Al Qaeda will get us and all of these things. Then they woke up one Thursday and said, all right, we're leaving Afghanistan. Why? Because the ATM was closed. $1.5 trillion in their filthy pockets. And you know what? They woke up one day and said, well, you know what? It won't be that. Whatever. See you later. Bye. And walked out. It's always lies. And they're always filling their pockets with money. And we get left holding the bag of impoverishment. Thank you very much, T-Bird.
You're welcome.
All right. 202-588-0893. Next call, you on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's that? No callers? Oh, okay. Well, good enough. Well, there we go. So let's talk about Israel and anti-Semitism. Let me look. Yes, I can think of a book right offhand. I'm glad you asked. There's a book. The name of it is it was written by Professor Dan Kovalik, a guy I know well. And the name of the book is The Case for Palestine, Why It Matters and Why You Should Care, forward by George Galloway. The Case for Palestine. And that is by Dan Kovalik. That's a very good one. Now, I got another one that's a bit esoteric. It's a little hard to find. And if anybody's interested in that, it's by Ian Black and Benny Morris. The name of it is Israel's Secret Wars, A History of Israel's Intelligence Services. Israel's Secret Wars, A History of Israel's Intelligence Services. That's an interesting book. If you start reading, you know, just something that I will let people know. You know, when I was, believe it or not, when I was in law enforcement, I was working for the governor's office, and I was doing all of this terrorism training. Do we have callers? No, we got a caller. Okay, I'll make this quick. And so one of the some of the training was VBIED. That stands for Vehicle-Borne Improvised Explosive Devices, or car bombs. And I came to find out in this book, a book's called Buddha's Wagon, named for a guy who filled the wagon with explosives back in the 20s or something and stuck it in Wall Street. And stuck it at Wall Street because he hated Wall Street and blew it up. But the bottom line was, what I found out in there was, guess where car bombs started? With Zionist gangs in the Middle East. It started with Zionist gangs in the Middle East, started car bombs, then it came back over here, then it went back over there, and then some of the people who were opposed to Zionists started using it. So that's interesting. At any rate, next caller. You're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from? You're on air.
Nick calling you. Can you hear me, man?
Loud and clear. What's happening?
This is Rick calling you from Germany, brother.
Oh, man, always a pleasure to hear from you, Brother Rick. Tell us what's up.
I just want to say that you're not living there in a democracy. It's a republic, a representative republic. And the representatives, for the most part, are corrupt. They're on the take, and they're corrupt. The voting machines are rigged. The Constitution has been suspended, and that's how we got a black president. I would love to say I'm happy that we had a black president, but the voting machines were rigged in his case as well. I would hope that the poor come out to vote the next presidential election, especially if Kamala Harris runs. I'm done, brother man.
Thank you very much. Well, I'd say like this. I feel like, again, politically, we have a systemic and a structural problem that no one person will fix. And if one person tries to fix it, they'll shoot them. I'll put it like this. They better not go to Dallas. If somebody tries to push back against the system, I think we saw what happened when a president tried to push back against the system. I think we saw what happened when his brother was running for office, who also was going to push back against the system. It's a systemic problem. And can you vote your way out of the system? The problem is this, the instability, the corruption that we have, right, is what the system produces. Our job It's to fight with each other. It's to be angry. The masses are supposed to fight. We're supposed to hate our next door neighbor because he's a Trump supporter, or he's unvaccinated, or he's the wrong religion, or he's the wrong race, or he's the wrong sexuality. They always got a reason for us to hate each other. But the bottom line is the rich keep filling their pockets. And I am at a point now where I think that both of our parties, like I say, I like to put it this way. It don't matter if it's the right shoe or the left shoe. If that, if the person wearing both shoes is running in one direction, it's just got to have both shoes to keep running. All right. Next call, you on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Nancy from D.C.
All right. I'm all ears, Nancy from D.C.
I really appreciate you taking my call. I believe that Democrats exist so that you meaning the people, don't wake the heck up and vote independent. Democrats are there as a smokescreen, feeding you that Kool-Aid, and they giving you lube. But the Republicans, they're just straight going to rape you. Either way, you already know what's going to happen. And I absolutely believe that these Zionists, who I didn't even know the term Zionist until October 2023, they killed the man in Dallas. They killed Malcolm X. They killed Martin Luther King. They killed Berta Cáceres. They killed Che Guevara. They killed absolutely everyone that is in their way. Not only that, look at all the journalists that have been killed in Gaza. All the more than like 250 journalists, which is more mm-hmm. than Vietnam, World War One, World War Two combined. When you have to kill journalists, it's because you have something to hide. Okay, and I heard, you know, I have a lot of friends. I've lost clients. I've lost friends who are on this Democratic Kool-Aid. I absolutely believe that that Kamala lost because of the war or the so-called war, the butchery. I absolutely believe that money is funneled through these weapons. If they were to stop building bombs, like Julian Assange said, I believe the financial system would collapse, from the Lockheed Martins to the Boeings to everyone that's out there. You know, when they gave us Obama, he came in with a lot of swag, a whole bunch of swag. But when you look how he murdered Gaddafi, when you look mm-hmm. how he took Manuel Zelaya out under coup, when you look how he had the Ukrainian president that actually got along with Putin taken out and set the platform for the money to be laundered through Ukraine, when you look how under his watch, Asata Shakur's bounty was raised to $2 million, the audacity. Do you know the how Cuba has had to take one for the team to protect Sister Shakur, where I can't even imagine how many times they tried to dangle the little bit of resources over Cuba's head so that they would give her up, raising the bounty, trying to get people to give her up. And Cuba said, absolutely not, because she stands for the revolution. She stands for what Fidel had been saying this entire time. And as he left it, he said, you can do what you want with me, but history will absolve me. And these people have tested us over and over again. Look what they did with Puerto Rico. They didn't let them speak their language. They didn't let them put their flags up. They sterilized women using experimental drugs to get birth control out there. That was a mini micro experiment with what they're trying to do with the world and what they've done with COVID. Everyone out there, and I'm going to shut up, but everyone out there, you have got to be your own doctor. You have got to rid yourself of stones and parasites holistically. All cancer is stones and parasites, multiple sclerosis, dementia, you name it.
Thank you very much. And we got a couple more callers, but I certainly appreciate you calling. And, you know, you're down my line in a lot of ways. You know, I'm not going to say I agree with everything that you said, but there's a lot of things I think that were very, very sensible. And I'm a person that's just like that. I used to be a Democrat. I've never been a Republican because I'm to the left of the Democratic Party. And at some point I came to the conclusion that these parties were bad news and I needed to go independent. And what's interesting is, that, just like my first caller, Max, if you say the Democrats are crooked, a person who's a Democrat says you must be a Republican. You like the Republicans. If you say the Republicans are crooked to a Republican, they'll say you must be a Democrat. You like the Democrats. It's like unable to have a concept that says a person is not a Democrat or a Republican. I see a systemic problem, and I see the Republicans as part of the and Democrats as part of a system. If I'm in Gaza and somebody's dropping bombs on me, that's not a Republican or a Democratic bomb. It's a United States Empire bomb. If somebody's starting a war, overthrowing my government, if I'm in Venezuela, do you think they're like, oh, it's the Democrats or the Republicans? No. The politicians that they hate the worst in Venezuela is Barack Obama, because he's the one that started with the major sanctions against him in 2016. No, they despise Obama in Venezuela. Absolutely despise him. So, and I know, you know, when I look at what he actually did, the idea that he was a black man with a black wife with a couple beautiful black kids, that sounds great. It looks great. But when I look at what he did for black folks, I can't find it. When I look at what he did for the wealthy, it's easy to find. And I look at his war record of bombing 7 countries. And I mean, I could go on and on. He was not a good person. His reign was not one, I think, that made this a better place. I'll put it like that. All right. Next call. You're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Garland. I have been listening to you for a couple years now, and your finger is always on the pulse of current events. And we think very similarly. I'm so grateful to listen to your show. The thing I get most from your listeners and the folks who call in, like the guy in Germany, all those guys, they all act as if America was ever a decent place. It's stolen land. They literally came here and rat-infested, disease-infested vessels. The Europeans tossed them to the four winds. If you look at Australia, it's entirely made up of European criminals. So the very idea that you can get beauty from a colonizer's mindset is asinine to me. It literally is based on genocide, every single place. The only reason where the whole idea of America, the dream of America came from, is the second set of Europeans who saw what the first set did. They let them get their hands dirty, killing Africans, killing natives, and they go, oh, wow, guess what? We can just go there and start over. Yeah, the start over is based on the blood of the many. The only reason I still vote, Garland, is to be able to make the decisions that my great-grandparents were refused to in the state of Georgia, that the ancestors who I can't name were not able to be. And I'm never going to vote Democrat again, never going to vote Republican again. I'm just going to vote my conscience. Like, I wanted to vote Cornel West. Instead, I voted for Kamala. We see what that did. The question I have for you today, sir, is this. What is the solution for a conscious individual? I hate the word woke. I'm conscious. I can see things. I have a conscience in my heart that tells me right from wrong, and I follow it. What would you suggest to a guy like me who is just fed up entirely? What would you suggest I do when you see the two sides of the dirty bird and you're fed up with it and you just want to be able to say to your descendants, if and when they should come, this is what, like I used to say to my grandparents during Spanish War, all of those things, they were there. I said, well, what did you do? And my grandfather would look at me and he would say, keep on living and don't die, kid. You'll see it all. But what can I pass on to my future generations when I'm an old man, because I'm only 44 years of age now, to say what I did during these perilous times in our times, besides just walking into a voting booth and punching my choice? What can I do? Because I don't want to be Greta Thunberg on a boat just getting arrested, and I don't want to be one of these kids that goes off and says what they feel in other ways. So I'm just curious as to what you, as an older man who I respect, and I've not disagreed with you on anything that I've heard you say, even when the youngsters call who are obviously shills, what would you say to me? How can I stand as a man in this world, not choosing either party, but but doing things so that when I'm on my deathbed, I can say I did the best I could.
I would say this as an individual. One of the things you can do is that when you look online and there's events, rallies, protests against whatever, whether it's against genocide or whatever, when there's a rally, you know, you can have your body present at those things. You might want to find things that, you know, things you can donate to. But definitely when you can look online, you can find rallies, you can find different protest things going on, and you can go to those and attend them and support them. I think that's an important thing to do. I try to do it every time I turn around. I'm, you know, finding another rally for peace or whatever, and I go there, and there's not that many people there. But I notice, like, I go to New York City a lot, to a bunch of, around New York, to a lot of rallies, and I notice you see a lot of the same people, and they smile and they shake hands and they're happy to see each other, and they're there. Some of them carrying signs, some of them not. But I think it's important for us to show up. You know what I'm saying?
I absolutely do.
Yeah, I think that's important. Not enough people understand how important it is to do that. And because is that going to change everything? Well, not necessarily. But as you said, sometimes we got to do something ourselves so that we can feel like we're a part of, you know, as you said, if somebody asks you, hey, there was a genocide going on when you were 44, what'd you do? You can say, yeah, well, you know, I went to rallies and I went to this and I went to, and I did that. So you won't have to, you know, say, you know, I just stood there and watched and I didn't do anything. So that's an idea.
Exactly. Is there anything economic that I can do? Like, for instance, I donate to this radio station. I don't
there
mind
you
doing
go.
That.
That's a good option. You know, I'm going to say that. But it is really because there are people on this station who, you know, do push back against the genocide, do push back against war, who really, you know, Pacifica was because not the Pacific Ocean, it was for pacifists, the people that started. It was people who were anti-war.
Right.
So it is important, I think, to support WPFW and the anti-war people here.
One last question for you, sir, and I'll get off and let others speak. Who do you listen to? Who do you tune into?
You know what I do?
Voice
to be honest.
Yeah.
I go on YouTube, and there's a number of different YouTube shows that I go to. So I listen to a lot of different shows on YouTube. And also, I'll say this. At times, I listen to people who I don't like or don't disagree with on a lot of issues because I want to learn what everybody's
right.
saying. I'm a curious person. Intellectually curious
exactly.
is the word I like to use.
Likewise, sir. Any one person you would give a shout-out that I should listen to as well, because I got you. I listen to Brother Kaba on this same station as well. I just love Black Thought in an intellectual vein. I get sick and tired of the Charlemagne the Gods and the
gosh.
The others who are just like vote like we say vote, and I'm like, no thanks.
Yeah, Charlemagne. Yeah, look,
yeah.
If you're on all the mainstream media, they're bringing you on, you know, mainstream TV to ask what you think, you're probably part of the problem. But I ain't hating on Charlemagne. He's paying or whatever. I'm just saying that ain't my flow. I would talk to the guy. I would go on his show, and he seems like a nice enough guy. But that whole business, I was on mainstream television and walked away because I couldn't do that. So, you know. All right. Thanks a lot. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name?
Thank
where
you,
you're calling
sir.
From? Next caller.
Hello.
We got any more callers? You're on.
Hello.
You're on. Yes, you're on.
I can't hear you well.
Oh, I can hear you, so give it a shot.
Okay. I am over 80 years old. And since I was born in 1945, I have never come across any white person. That's why I use the word Caucasian, Caucasian, Caucasian. Even in my writings, I use the word Caucasians. Look, the people think we Africans are stupid people. Benjamin Netanyahu is a Caucasian. Donald Trump here is a Caucasian. Tony Blair, that they put them. You put three Caucasians together who have been committing crimes around the world. In Palestine, in Israel, in Australia, in New Zealand, here in North America and South America, and you put them there. I heard Netanyahu and Donald Trump talking, discussing how to actually handle things in Gaza. In fact, I listened to them over and over. There's not a single word, the word justice never appeared. They talk about peace. They talk about security. Peace and security. The word peace appeared over and over and over. You see, the Caucasians think we are stupid. We are not stupid people. We Africans build the pyramids. I have been to Europe. I have traveled all over Europe. I have never seen a pyramid there. I went with my family to the Nile Valley and we look at Sphinx. Do you know in 1976 when I was in one of the universities in Michigan, they showed Sphinx, a replica of Sphinx on Mars, but you don't hear about it. So let them not think that we Africans are stupid people. We are not stupid. And well, you mentioned the word today, Semitism. Semitism. Netanyahu is not a Semite. Palestinians, all of them are Semitic people. Lebanese are Semitic people. Jordanians are Semitic people. Syrians are Semitic people. Arabs are Semitic people. In fact, there are over 300 million Semitic-speaking people on the African continent. So Netanyahu and Donald Trump and Tony Blair were in there to be discussing things about other Semitic people. That's where Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here. Well, I'll say this. You know, the truth about Israel, in my opinion, this is my opinion, is it doesn't have anything really to do with Judaism. It was always about England. Initially, it was about England. When England decided that they were going to go to make all of their ships steamships, they were going to use oil instead of, you know, sails and all of that coal. And that's when they signed the Balfour Declaration and said, you know, I think we need to have a colony in the Middle East where all the oil is. So the bottom line is this. Israel really is a colonial project of England and the United States. It has nothing to do with Jewish people. The truth is they use Jewish people as human shields so that they can do their dirty work. And now Israel, to be quite frank, is just like Ukraine. The people of Israel, the soldiers are cannon fodder for the United States, just like the Ukrainians are cannon fodder. So Americans don't have to die to steal all the oil. They'll let the Israelis die to steal all the oil. And so Americans don't have to fight die to fight Russians. They'll let the Ukrainians die to fight Russians. They want to fight them, but they don't want to lose any Americans doing it. That's all it really is, in my opinion.
It's very important that you use the word Jewish people. Jewish people, apart from the Ethiopian Jews, who are true Jews from the tribe of Judah, Benjamin Netanyahu and General Garland and all those funny names, which one of them is from the tribe of Judah or from the tribe of Benjamin? These were the only two tribes that fused together to form Jewish people. Is Netanyahu from the tribe of Judah or from the tribe of Benjamin?
Well, first of all, Benjamin Netanyahu's name is Benjamin Milikowski. He changed his name. He changed his name. His actual name is Benjamin Milikowski. It's not Benjamin Netanyahu. At any rate, thank you very much. Certainly appreciate the call. Any more? Okay, one more call because we got to get some good music in. We've got 1 minute. Next caller, you're on the air. Next caller, you are on the air.
Okay. I basically heard it on your station already. I wanted to just basically give a shout out to Assata Shakur. Mm-hmm. And we must understand that at the time that officer was killed, that she was accused of killing, the Panthers were at war. War was being made on them. The reason they took the attitude of power grows from the barrel of a gun because they were resisting against the bloodshed that was put on everyday citizens in Watts, in L.A., where they started the Panthers at. So they were at war. Now, see, when you go, this country calls it wisdom when they destroy their enemies. They get purple hearts and ribbons. But when you fight for your own survival and stand up with self-defense, it was the Black Panther Party of self-defense.
Oh, unfortunately, I just looked at the clock, so we got to get ready to go. I got to jump out of here. Certainly appreciate the call. Well, you know, Malcolm X talked about, you know, about nonviolence. And you know what he said? United States government's never nonviolent. The only people they want to be nonviolent is us. You know, as he said, I'm nonviolent with people that are nonviolent with me. Now, I am not in favor of violence. I am a nonviolent person, but not everybody thinks like me. And I wasn't alive when Black folks was getting hanged. And if people was hanging members of my family, who knows how I would have reacted? I'm simply going to say, thanks a lot, everybody. I want to thank my main man, Kalia, for doing a fantastic job. Coming up next, the best music curator in America. It's Robin Holden. Let's hear some old school music from the 80s. Joyce Sims, I'm out.
This ship is now under my direction.
Self-destructive 5 seconds.